We're going to be getting started in just a couple of minutes. America today took a step back to the type of America I remember growing up as a kid. Today is a big, big, big day in America. Glad you're here.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness, and every gain divine.
Oh, beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam.
America took a brave step today. Where is that step going to take us? We're going to talk about that today on the Prophecy Podcast.
Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday, and welcome to this very important, very special edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, it took 50 years, but today the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, the landmark ruling that established the constitutional right to abortion in the United States in 1973. The court's controversial but expected ruling gives individual states the power to set up their own abortion laws without concern of running afoul of Roe, which, for nearly a half a century, had permitted abortions during the first two trimesters of pregnancy. Quote, "The Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. Roe and Casey are overruled, and the authority to regulate abortion is returned to the people and their elected representatives," end quote. That is from a syllabus of the opinion from the justices of the United States Supreme Court. Leviticus 18:21, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Leviticus 18:21. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, out in front of the United States Supreme Court right now, Police have formed a barrier as hordes and packs of incensed liberals are protesting the end of Roe versus Wade as a federal institution. If you ever wondered what it must have been like to hear the Jewish people cry out, "Give us Barabbas!" as a murderer was set free and the author of Life was sentenced to die, this is about as close as you're going to get. Most of the things being shouted by the angry mob in Washington are too filthy and too violent for me to talk about on the podcast today. I'm not kidding. But nonetheless, this is our program. We're living in a day and age that the Bible calls the last days, where violence and mob rule are the tools of conflict resolution. Why? Well, because lost people are preparing themselves to receive Antichrist, who, by the way, now if you're sad today that Roe versus Wade was overturned, if you're sad today that abortion in the United States is about to get much less, well, I have good news for you. After you miss the rapture and you go into what's called the time of Jacob's trouble, the Antichrist is going to restore those rights. But the bad news, it's only going to last you about 7 years. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here today. And Lord, the chat room is full and getting fuller. People tuning in across America and around the world today in over 131 different countries. And we thank you, God. We praise you for the increase. Today, Lord, we pray for Annetta, recovering from her massive stroke from a month ago. And she's getting better. She's getting sassy. She can feed herself. And her speech is getting better. So please, please, please keep praying for Annetta for a complete healing and recovery, and that she'll be able to get out of that bed and go home. Kathy Kelly is asking for traveling mercies as they prepare to move from Washington State to St. Augustine, and they're going to be part of the church that we're planting. Kyle and Reagan Gorzel would like prayers for their friend's son, Preston Matthias. He has been very sick this week and he's losing weight. So please pray for Preston Matthias. Carol Morin is sick and flying to Greece. Prayers for healing and recovery. Chelsea B has landed on the shores of Europe. And please keep Chelsea B and her kids in your prayers as they spend some time on the European continent and that they'll have safe travels back home. Scott Whitaker, unable to work right now because of a foot injury and dealing with PTSD, prayers for a complete healing. Praise report from Kathy Heald. Robert's surgery went well. Please pray for a healing and a swift recovery. And they both thank everybody in their NTEB family for all the prayers. Charlton says, I have a lot going on, but over the next 100 days, they are crucial for Deb and myself. We appreciate your prayers. We're fine, just moving things around to be more flexible. So please keep Charlton and Deb in your prayers. Carol Jane says, hey, everybody, the judges and families, they need our prayers. They absolutely do. And she says specifically the Republican judges. Yeah. Mike Hensel, please pray for my mom. Her breathing is getting worse. Remember Mike Hensel's mom in your prayers. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you make a way where there seems to be no way. The Bible says, can he furnish a table in the wilderness? And next to that passage, I just wrote, well, can he? Question mark. He absolutely can. Man, God is good. God is good. And sometimes I just get overwhelmed with what he does in my life and what he does in the lives of people around me. And if you ever want to have a really, really good time in the Word one day, you just look up that phrase, the goodness of God. The Bible says the goodness of God endureth continually. And Lord, we just come before you. We commit this time to you. And we ask you to work and move in these prayer requests and praise reports. And Lord, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. Lord, if you don't solve the problem, it's going to remain unsolved. Lord, if you don't supply the lack, if you don't make up what needs to be increased, it's never going to happen. But Lord, we know that you, your word says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to them who love him? And Father God, we commit this time to you. We thank you, we praise you, and ask you to work and move. And Lord, we pray for America today, and we pray for our representative leaders, and we pray, Lord, that this spirit of violence that just seems to be everywhere, we just pray, Lord, that you would set a hedge of protection about us and give us the ability to plunder the enemy's kingdom and to preach and teach on the streets and hand out gospel tracts and see lost people get saved and see saved people get on fire for you. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, welcome everybody today. We're just going to get right into it. There is so much stuff happening right now. Every single, it doesn't matter what news outlet that you go to right now. Doesn't matter where you go, you're going to see the same story today. You are going to see that the U.S. Supreme Court has finally overturned Roe versus Wade. Does this mean that abortion is no longer legal in the United States? No, it does not mean that. It simply means that it's no longer going to be controlled by the federal government, which it never should have been in the first place. In case you really haven't spent much time looking at how our system of government works and the three branches of government, the Supreme Court is not supposed to make laws. They're not supposed to enforce laws. What the Supreme Court is supposed to do is give rulings and decisions on things that relate to the U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. That's what the U.S. Supreme Court is supposed to do. The Congress and the Senate and the executive branch, they're responsible for making the laws and the executive orders and vetoing things and approving things. The U.S. Supreme Court was never supposed to be in the lawmaking business. All they do is they take the conflict, compare it to the founding documents of our nation, and then they tell you if it's, they make a ruling. Is it constitutional or unconstitutional? So, what happened this morning at the U.S. Supreme Court? The justices handed down a majority opinion where they said that Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey have been deemed unconstitutional, and they should have been. So this simply corrects a wrong and makes it right. It does not stop abortion in the United States. Take a listen to this. U.S. Supreme Court formally overrules Roe versus Wade.
The Supreme Court has overruled Roe v. Wade, the 1973 decision giving a nationwide constitutional right to end a pregnancy. The decision is expected to lead to abortion bans or severe restrictions in roughly half the states in just a matter of weeks. The outcome is similar to a leaked draft of the court's opinion that appeared in early May. That was written by Justice Samuel Alito. Alito concluded that Roe and a 1992 case, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, which basically affirmed the right to abortion, were egregiously wrong and needed to be overruled. The case now leaves states free to ban abortion, and as I said, about half the states are expected to do that. And in other states, the right to abortion has actually been expanded in recent months. The court's decision was really the culmination of decades of efforts by abortion opponents to undo the Roe v. Wade ruling. And it was really made possible by the addition of three appointees of former President Donald Trump to the Supreme Court. Before that, it would have been unthinkable for the court to take this momentous step. Back at the arguments, Roberts suggested that he might support upholding the law at issue in this case, which is a Mississippi's ban on abortion after 15 weeks, without saying anything about the fate of Roe v. Wade. In the end, though, a majority of the court was willing to take that bigger step. There's one abortion clinic in Mississippi, and it doesn't perform abortions after 16 weeks of pregnancy. The Mississippi law, which was enacted in 2018, was really enacted with the intent of challenging Roe v. Wade. It only sought to ban abortions just 1 week earlier than the clinic stops performing them anyway. The strategy was a bit of a long shot at the time because when the law was passed, Justice Anthony Kennedy, who supported abortion rights, still sat on the court, and so did Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Kennedy retired in 2018, Ginsburg died in 2020, and their replacements were both in the majority today to overrule Roe.
So there you have our opening shot today. That's a nice overview of what happened. You know, one of the great things that Donald Trump did when he was president is he appointed a very large number of judges and justices, and he really worked very hard to overhaul the United States justice system. And he appointed over 200 judges, I think two or three Supreme Court justices. And because he put so many of those conservative judges on the benches, this is one of the reasons why the Supreme Court had the firepower to be able to overturn Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. So what's happening today, in a large part, you can give some credit to Donald Trump, because in the first 2 years of his presidency, he really focused very strongly on putting conservative judges on all the circuit courts and putting as many conservative justices as he was able to do on the U.S. Supreme Court. And this is why they had the firepower to go ahead and reverse both of these rulings and declare them to be unconstitutional. Now, before we get any farther with this topic on abortion, we wouldn't be the Prophecy News podcast if we didn't remind you of this.
One issue that really grabbed me as urgent were issues related to population, reproductive health.
But did you come to reproductive issues as an intellectual?
When I was growing up, my parents were always involved in various volunteer things. My dad was head of Planned Parenthood. And it was very controversial to be involved with that.
So there you have Bill Gates from 2003. I forget the name of the talk show that he was on, very candidly talking about the fact that his father, Bill Gates Sr., for many, many years was the CEO of that baby-killing factory that they call Planned Parenthood. There's no plan to be a parent. Nobody's becoming a parent. I don't know why they call it Planned Parenthood. But I just want to remind you that Bill Gates Sr. used to run and set the policy for Planned Parenthood. And one of the reason why Planned Parenthood is as strong as they are is because of the work that Bill Gates Sr. and Bill Gates III from Microsoft, the work that they did. You know, going back decades, these two men had so much money and so much power that in the early days of Starbucks, now you're thinking, what does Starbucks have to do with Bill Gates? Everything. Bill Gates Sr. was the person who made Starbucks possible. When Starbucks opened up and they weren't doing well, Bill Gates Sr. stepped in and he saved the day. The Gates family has unbelievable power and influence, and obviously they have a lot of money. And you think to yourself, well, yeah, it's Bill Gates from Microsoft who made all that money. No. Bill Gates' mother, Mary Gates, she was the head of the United Way at roughly the same time that Bill Gates Sr. was running Planned Parenthood. And when Bill Gates dropped out of Harvard to start his Microsoft company, his company really wasn't doing that well. And what they needed was a very heavy infusion of cash. So Mary Gates, and you can Google this, or you can just go to nowtheendbegins.com, and I'm reading from that article right now. Bill Gates' mom, Mary Gates, helped her son form a lucrative relationship with IBM, securing a contract with his fledgling company, Microsoft, according to the New York Times. Mary Maxwell Gates was a regent at the University of Washington since 1975. That year, Mary Gates became the first woman to serve as a director of First Interstate Bank and the first woman to serve as the president of the Kings County United Way. Gates was later appointed to the board of the United Way of America. In 1983, Mary Gates became the first woman to lead the United Way. Now, if you've ever watched an NFL football game, you know exactly what the United Way is. It's a charitable organization, but the organization has huge overhead and massive executive salaries. That's where the money goes. Mary Gates had built a relationship with a man by the name of Jack Opel, who was the CEO of IBM, who also served on the United Way board. Opel mentioned Gates to some of his fellow IBM executives, according to some accounts, and then IBM decided to, quote, take a chance with Microsoft. Are you starting to see how Microsoft really got started? IBM hired Microsoft to build an operating system for its first personal computer. At the time, Microsoft was a tiny little software company. Then you blink your eyes, literally, and Bill Gates is the richest man on the face of the earth with unlimited amounts of money. But how did Bill Gates get the money? Bill Gates Sr., his mother Mary Gates, using their power and their influence from the United Way and IBM, they created Microsoft. And why would they do that? So Bill Gates could carry on the legacy. Bill Gates is rabidly pro-abortion. Bill Gates believes in abortion at any day during the nine-month period. Bill Gates is what we call a eugenicist. And if you've never studied the science of eugenics, basically, it's what Adolf Hitler believed in. Eugenics is pseudoscience, and the idea behind it, and trust me when I tell you, all of what I'm talking about right now has to do with the ruling today, and it has to do with Roe versus Wade, it has to do with abortion, and all these things are all connected. So, as we start to talk about the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade and to overturn Planned Parenthood versus Casey, I want you to remember the powers behind this movement, this pro-abortion, pro-death, let's kill all the babies, 21st century version of King Herod. And I want you to remember where all of this comes from. It comes from eugenics. It comes from Bill Gates Sr. and Mary Gates and Bill Gates III. And this is some of what they use their vast fortune and influence to accomplish. Now, speaking of unhinged liberals, I want you to listen to Elizabeth Warren talking about the idea. This clip is not from today, but this clip was a couple of weeks ago, and they simply asked Elizabeth Warren on multiple news programs what her opinion on the ending, the possible ending of Roe versus Wade might be. Let's take a listen.
My name is Elizabeth Warren, and I'm madder than hell. I am here because I am angry. I am angry. I am angry.
Angry and upset?
Angry and upset. I am angry.
I've never seen you so angry.
I feel really angry about this.
I am angry. Red states and blue states, old people and young people.
We don't want to dismember children in the womb.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Senator.
No, we are not going to stand for dismembering 3,000 children in the womb every single day. And anybody, I don't care what type of leader you are, the fact that you as a leader would stand for the dismemberment and subjugation of minority communities.
Thank you for your support. We love you.
It is despicable and disgusting. You need to repent. You need to repent. Disgusting.
You don't have a mask on either, ma'am. You're freaking fat.
You seem to be.
This is what the Republicans have been working toward this day for decades. They have been out there plotting, carefully cultivating these Supreme Court justices so they could have a majority on the bench who would accomplish something that the majority of Americans do not want.
We have reached the culmination of what Republicans have been fighting for, angling for decades now, and we are going to fight back. Yeah! This will fall on the poorest women in our country. This will fall on the young women who have been abused, who are victims of incest. This will fall on those who have been raped. This will fall on mothers who are already struggling to work three jobs to be able to support the children they have. Understand this. I have seen the world where abortion is illegal. And we are not going back. Not ever.
No.
So say it with me. We are not going back.
We are not going back.
Not ever.
Not ever.
Not ever.
Not ever. Not ever.
Not ever.
Not ever.
Never.
All right, you just piped down, Betty. Leviticus 18:21, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord. That's Leviticus 18:21. 2 Kings 23:10, and he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. Jeremiah 32:35, they called him the weeping prophet. Jeremiah 32:35, if you ever want to see why Israel goes through the time of Jacob's trouble, just read Jeremiah chapters 8 through 10 today, and you'll see exactly why Israel is going to go through the time of Jacob's trouble. But in Jeremiah 32:35, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Now, If you don't spend a lot of time studying your King James Bible, you may not be familiar with who Molech is. Molech was one of the idols in the Old Testament, and he wasn't real. He was fake. He was a stone idol. And what they did is they created a statue unto their god, Molech, God with a small g. And they had him sitting up straight with his Baphomet head, and the whole statue, and the statue was enormous, 20, 30 feet high. And in his lap was a basin. And in that basin, they put wood to make a fire. And what they would do is they would sacrifice their children unto Molech. They would literally take their babies and they would place them into the fire at the base of the Molech idol, and they would burn their babies alive to appease their god Molech. That's who Molech is in the Bible. Now, it's tragically ironic that it talks about when they murdered their babies is they made them pass through the fire to Molech. Many, many doctors have said that when a baby is aborted and it's injected with that syringe of the saline solution, as that liquid is injected into that little baby, the baby feels like it's on fire. And that's the last thing that that baby feels before it dies. And so I don't see that it's a coincidence of any kind where it talks about in the Old Testament where they murdered their babies and they sacrificed them on the altar of Molech. It talks about making them pass through the fire. And that's exactly what an abortion feels like. They say that the little baby feels like it's been set on fire. You can't get past that King James Bible no matter what you do. That Bible is always going to be ahead of you. This is from a pro-choice abortion rally. Take a listen to this.
Turning to other news here in the Bay Area, abortion rights activists across the nation rallied today. Their goal, to defend and protect abortion access. Right here in the Bay Area, more than 2,000 people took over Joe Chilura Courthouse Square. ABC Action News reporter J.J. Burton was there and has more.
Not the church, not the city. Women must decide their fate.
A ban's off our bodies. And that's the message people across the country are sending to lawmakers and the Supreme Court.
On one hand, I do feel encouraged to see so many folks in the community coming together. But on the other hand, I'm just pissed that we have to come out in the first place.
Brittany Slordin is one of the people who organized this rally in Tampa Saturday. More than 2,000 people of all different genders, race, sexual orientation, and political views came out.
I absolutely did not think that we would be here at this day and age.
Ida Mackett is one of the organizers. She also has four children, three of them girls.
Knowing that, you know, we have freedoms, knowing that we have freedom of speech, knowing that we have freedom of religion, to think that I would not have the freedom to practice my own bodily autonomy and my rights over my body is absolutely insane.
A lot of these rallies were already planned, but the large crowds like this one is a result of that leaked Supreme Court draft suggesting Roe v. Wade could be overturned as early as June.
And the government is not going to tell me what to do with my uterus.
Pro-life advocates are also speaking out, supporting a leaked draft and hoping Roe v. Wade is overturned.
With the science we have today, we know that a unique human being is created at the point of conception. It should have been overturned decades ago.
It's important to note the Supreme Court says the leaked draft does not represent a decision by the court or the final position of any of the members on the issue in the case. Still, abortion activists say they will not stop standing up and speaking out until they know for sure that Roe v. Wade won't be overturned.
Our goal is to codify the protections offered in Roe versus Wade and to increase them for women.
J.J. Burton, ABC Action News.
Still ahead, a Bay Area woman is trying to... Turning to other news...
Back in the 1980s and early 1990s, there was a talk show called the Arsenio Hall Show. And one of the segments that he had on his program that I always liked, it was called Things That Make You Go, Hmm. And in that segment, he would talk about things that had very odd timing, things that were strangely coincidental. Well, here's one of those things that make you go, hmm. Yesterday, we did a story called United States Supreme Court Issues Major New Ruling Expanding Second Amendment Gun Rights as Justices Appointed by Trump Now Paying Big Dividends. So, does anybody else find it amazingly ironic that 24 hours after the U.S. Supreme Court hands down a ruling that greatly expands gun rights and restores concealed carry to people in New York, that one day later, Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey is overturned? Man, the timing of that is, it's just one of those things that make you go, hmm. And that happened just yesterday. It's almost like they were preparing people for what would be coming with Roe versus Wade. Now, what might be coming with Roe versus Wade? Well, I want to tell you about this group. I want to tell you about this group called Jane's Revenge. Some of you may have heard of it. Some of you might be hearing it for the first time. But there is a group called Jane's Revenge. And I want to read to you a little bit of their manifesto. And Jane's Revenge is obviously a far-left, radical, liberal organization. And, like Antifa, like Black Lives Matter. And they have been threatening to, basically set stuff on fire. And a couple weeks ago, Justice Kavanaugh had his life threatened. Somebody tried to kill Justice Kavanaugh just a couple of weeks ago. And the Jane's Revenge group has been posting graffiti signs all over Washington that say, if abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either. So take a listen to Dabu 7. I think I have the clip. Dabu 7 talking about these flyers that he's been spotting all over Washington, D.C., and it's called Night of Rage. Take a listen to Dabu 7.
This is Dabu 7. Just a heads up to some action that we could see here right around the corner. We have flyers being put up inside of D.C., and you can see these pop up in other cities as well. Wherever this group called Jane's Revenge surfaces, they are threatening or declaring open season on pro-life groups and crisis pregnancy centers. If or when the Supreme Court and the nine justices there overturn the court case to ban abortions, making it a state matter. They're saying that it would spur demonstrations. And as you can see by the note that was left there in the image, they're already putting out the word on the street for people to make moves, to hit the streets once this goes down. Now they're saying here that this is more than likely going to happen on Thursday. It could happen at any time, really. But this is what they're saying here in this article. Expect some chaos in the streets directly connected to this group if this is announced. So I just wanted to make it clear, if you start to see vandalizing, fires, buildings getting burnt to the ground, other violent acts, it's all connected to this group and this group calling for it. So I'm going to break this down further on the live stream.
All right, so there you have Dabu 7, and he's just a little 30-second video that he posted. And he posted that video before the ruling was handed down. And I'm on a website right now called theanarchistlibrary.org. And if you go to that website and type in Jane's Revenge or Night of Rage, you will see the manifesto of this group calling themselves Jane's Revenge. This is what Night of Rage is all about. And it's, you know, it's rather lengthy. So I'm only going to read the first six or seven sentences. But I think you'll get the idea. This was written about 3 weeks ago. So the title of this manifesto is called Night of Rage, An Autonomous Call to Action Against Patriarchal Supremacy. Within the month, we anticipate a verdict that will be issued that overturns Roe versus Wade, setting in motion an evisceration of abortion access across the so-called United States. This is an event that should inspire rage in millions of people who can get pregnant. Why don't they say millions of women? In millions of people who can get pregnant, and yet the response thus far has been tepid. We have agonized over this apparent absence of indignation. Why is it that we are so afraid to unleash hell upon those who are destroying us? That's how they view the end of Roe versus Wade. Fear of state repression is valid, but this goes deeper than that. Your anger has been stolen from you. To this we say no more. We need to get angry. We need the state to feel our full wrath. We need to express this madness fully and with ferocity. We need to quit containing ourselves. We need to make them be afraid of us. Now, this is from the manifesto called Night of Rage, An Autonomous Call to Action Against Patriarchal Supremacy, from the domestic terror group. I don't know what else you'd call them. Domestic terror group, Jane's Revenge. So let's take a listen to the folks over at The Five talking about the Night of Rage. Take a listen to this.
Left-wing agitators promising a night of rage for the Supreme Court as Biden and the Democrats turn a blind eye. Barricades are going up around the building with the justices poised to issue their ruling on abortion either this week or next. The group Jane's Revenge issuing a call to riot against the top court if Roe goes. So far, there have been more than 40 attacks on pro-life groups in churches, and illegal protesting continues outside the homes of the justices. Republican Senator John Kennedy blasting the left over the intimidation tactics.
All of this is being driven by the anti-intellectual, crypto-socialist woke left. When the draft opinion was leaked, the wokers' response was immediate. They said, we don't agree with it, so let's burn the place down. Let's intimidate the justices. Let's intimidate their spouses. Let's intimidate their kids. What you allow is what will continue.
So let's just stop him right there for a second. How come nobody from the Biden administration, from the Department of Justice, how come nobody is trying to find out who the leaker of the opinion from the Supreme Court was? You know, it's a federal offense to do something like that. How come nobody anywhere in Biden's administration has bothered to identify who the leaker was?
The Biden administration has embraced that.
You could say it's hyperbole embracing, but they definitely, by their silence, have given certain kind of an implicit consent.
Yeah.
What's next? I mean, are we going to have Supreme Court justices move out of their homes and live in a compound?
Maybe they'll have to go live in Europe.
Yeah.
Where they can just rule from there. I think it's a little bit absurd that the attorney general has time to go all the way to Kyiv to talk about, he was there today, to talk about helping them ensure that there is justice, but neither he nor Biden can mention anything that is happening just 10 minutes away from their offices.
Yeah.
And there's been no deterrence, right? These protests at the justices' homes, they are illegal.
Right.
So arrest one.
Yeah.
And have a little deterrence and show that there is going to be some pushback. They're not doing anything. So what happens? Then all these people are just going to continue to do it. And that's how these young women, those ones that are protesting there with the, you know, the blood on their pants and the baby dolls, that's what they're being paid to do. That's their summer job.
You're right.
This is what you're going to see all summer long.
You know, Judge, I know this is petty, but I'm going to say what's good for the goose, which is something I coined, good for the gander. Why not have the personal info of the illegal protesters public? Put out their addresses.
Well, this is a microcosm of what's going on in the country at large. You've got the Republicans who, for the most part, you know, and January 6th is a little different, and I think we all agree that whoever violated the law should be prosecuted. But what you've got here is you've got the Republicans who are not doing, when they're in office, to the Democrats what the Democrats do to the Republicans. And it's like, in this case, you've got people yelling, if this decision comes down that says that abortion is not a federal right, then we're going to burn the city down. We're going to tear everything down. We're going to unleash the fury. And what we're going to do is we're going to hit the streets. We said we'd riot, and that's what we're going to do. That's what the left does. So in the summer of 2020, we have Black Lives Matter burning down the streets and media saying, don't believe your lying eyes. Summer of 2022, if this thing spins off the way they want it, the same thing is going to happen. All a prosecutor needs to do is enforce the law. Every one of those people in front of the justice's house, until there's a decision, is violating the law. Now, how do you do that? As a prosecutor, what you do is you go in and you infiltrate. You send someone in to Jane's Revenge and you find out what is their MO, who is their leader. This is an organized criminal enterprise. This is a RICO. I mean, nobody's putting up those flyers for free. Yep. This is organized.
Talk about a miserable undercover job. No. Like, it might be more fun to do.
So Jeanine Pirro brings up a really good point. Here at Now the End Begins, for the last 12 or 13 years, we've been reporting on things done by the radical left. We showed you back in 2013, 14, 15. We showed you how George Soros funded those race riots in St. Louis. In fact, George Soros spent over $33 million just on the riots in St. Louis alone. And all these young people that are in Washington and Maryland and all these liberal states, they're being paid to do these protests. Sometimes as much as $25 per hour, they're getting paid to riot in the streets and set stuff on fire. And so when Dana Perino just told you that these people who are dressing up like from The Handmaid's Tale and they're putting red paint on the front of their clothing and doing all this weird, weird stuff, how do people have time to do this? Well, because they're getting paid to do it. That's how they have time to do it.
Like a drug cartel or the mafia. But, you know, I'm going undercover for Jane's Revenge.
But the bottom line is no one is stopping them. So the right is saying, go ahead, step on us, burn our cities, burn our businesses, burn our police precincts, go into the church. I'm Roman Catholic. Burn the tabernacle. I mean, this bothers me. And you know what? We're like, oh, okay.
I don't think we're all okay about this, Harold. I don't think
are. Well, people in power are okay.
What if we did this? What if me and Jesse decided to road trip? We were talking about this earlier.
Yep.
To go right to Kagan's house and just set up a cooler of beer. What would happen, Harold?
Well, look, I'm not an advocate of violence.
Nothing violent
for anybody.
About beer.
No. But I mean, I think some of the things we're talking about. And if you guys want to do that, I think you should do it. I might join you. depending on the beer you might bring. They're going to be electoral consequences if the court, if what we believe the court is going to do with regard to Roe. This is a 50-year precedent. Unlike, we've not seen, I'm 52 years old, we've not seen a case like this in my lifetime that will stir the nation and that has potential to stir the nation like this one does. This is not at all the justification, Your Honor, for any kind of violent act. And I would agree. I think your recommendations around how to deal with this and perhaps infiltrating groups, all of that is smart to do. I was speaking with a Republican friend of mine, a great old pal of mine the other night, who was unaware, was frankly unaware of all that was going on around Roe and was surprised and said, look, she's a Republican woman. She said, if this is overturned, this is going to make me rethink. She was a big Trump supporter. It's going to make me rethink a lot of things. Now, having said that, there's no excuse. I do hope Attorney General Garland, I hope the president and others, if this decision comes down like we think it's going to come down, will encourage people to protest peacefully, will encourage prosecutors to prosecute and enforce the law. And I would hope that would go on both sides. This is not just a Democratic problem. I saw some guy in Missouri saying he's hunting Republicans who's running for the United States Senate. I saw Dan Crenshaw get pushed up against a wall in his staff at a Republican event because, you know, we have this sense in our country now. If you don't agree with me, not only will I cancel you, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to physically beat you. I'm going to impose violence on you. We all have to take a step back and understand that politics is fought at the ballot box. It's not fought on a person. It's not fought within violence on your political opponent. Finally, there's a great piece in the Wall Street Journal today about Sonia Sotomayor, the justice, speaking about Clarence Thomas. She said, we may disagree on things, but I like him. He's a friend of mine, and I understand what motivates him. I wish that everybody in politics would read that notable there in the Journal today and try to apply that to those you may.
All right, so you get the idea with what they're saying over on The Five. Anarchist groups over the last 10, 12 years, liberal anarchist groups have been protected by the United States government. They were protected under Obama, and they are protected under Biden. Take a listen to what Kamala Harris, your vice president, said about the riots, and I'll remind you that these riots killed 20 people, saw two women get raped, and over $2 billion worth of damage happened. What do you think the Vice President of the United States thought of riots that did that? Well, she'll tell you. Take a listen.
Clear that I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had.
That's right.
For the first few weeks.
That's right. But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And that's they're not. This is a movement. I'm telling you, they're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. It is going to. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not, and we should not.
And just in case your short-term memory does not extend back to the summer of 2020, let me remind you what those riots sounded like. Now, if you were watching that video, you would have seen a crowd of about 200 far-left radical liberals descending on a small handful of people trying to have a sandwich and a cup of coffee in an outdoor cafe. And when you heard in the last 5 seconds of that clip, you heard them shouting and screaming, "Are you a Christian?" There was about 50, 60 people bearing down on one lone woman who refused to be intimidated by them. Very interesting, their choice of words. Are you a Christian? So when we look at these groups, Antifa, Occupy Wall Street, Black Lives Matter, Jane's Revenge, the Sunrise Movement, anything started by George Soros. When we look at all these groups, they all have one thing in common: mob rule. They are all demonic in nature. And this is why we told you, and we told you 2 years ago, and just for fun, let's get the count today. Today is day 830 of 15 days to flatten the curve. Day 830 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And we told you that back in 2020, what you were watching was the rising spirit of Antichrist. Now, maybe I wrote that article at the height of the lockdowns, and maybe I wrote that article at a time where people were mentally confused and everybody was at a breaking point. And maybe I've had some time to rethink that article, and maybe I would like to go back and change some of that and just kind of step off the ledge a little. No, absolutely not. When I wrote that article back on June 5th of 2020, and I told you that what you were watching was the rising spirit of Antichrist, nothing has taken place in over 2 years that would make me want to retract, modify, amplify, or change even one word of that article. In fact, if I was to write a follow-up, I would probably write something that was a whole lot stronger than that article. And when you consider that that article was pretty strong, that's really saying something. And let me just read to you a couple of sentences from that article. And if you want to read that article, just go to nowtheendbegins.com and go to the search box and type in Rising Spirit of Antichrist, and you'll find that article. And this is what I wrote back in June of 2020. I said, this is not an easy article for me to write to you today, but it is the latest installment of everything that we've been talking about since the global COVID-19 crisis began back in mid-March. We have gone from bad to worse and soon to the unimaginable, as the spirit of Antichrist is openly sweeping across the world at this very moment. Lest you think that I employ hyperbole or am exaggerating, and then I say I will refer you to the videos below. They tell you the story better than my own words will, but just a few thoughts before you start watching them. It is very rare in the Bible that we read a future event that has been prophesied that is fulfilled immediately. Usually there is a beginning, middle, and end to the arc of the prophecy as it begins to come to pass. The day of the Lord is a single day, yes, but it is also a period of time that starts with the pre-tribulation rapture of the church and it ends with the great white throne judgment. All of that is the day of the Lord. The rise of Antichrist has an arc as well. I am here to tell you that that arc has begun, and he is on his way. John 8:44 says this, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, I submit to you today that from a biblical perspective, and I'm not talking about people who made a bad decision and had an abortion and regretted it and wished they could take it back and went to the Lord and said, please forgive me. I'm not talking about those people. The group of people that I'm talking about are the people that get so excited at the idea of abortion that, and you've seen the videos, they actually start weeping and crying tears of joy because their abortion rights are being expanded. Have you ever seen those videos? absolutely demonic how people get so excited at the idea of being able to kill their own baby legally. So, again, I'm not talking about the unwed mother who made a bad decision, the mother who couldn't afford the baby, and in a moment of weakness, she got an abortion. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about an organized, demonic movement of murder. And in John 8:44, Jesus says, "Ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning. The Bible says that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. Now, in the context, Jesus is talking about Judas Iscariot, and he's talking about the coming Antichrist. But you can absolutely apply John 8:44 to this Jane's revenge, this idea that if abortion is taken away, it's going to make you angry.
My name is Elizabeth Warren, and I'm madder than hell. I am here because I am angry. I am angry. I am angry.
Angry and upset?
Angry and upset. I am angry.
And what is that? That is the spirit of Antichrist. Jesus says, "Ye are of your father, the devil." He was a murderer from the beginning. What is abortion? It's murder. And you can give it whatever type of term that you want to call it. Abortion is murder. Let's check in with Jason A. On audio headlines from this week. Take a listen. What's happening to America 2020 from Jason A.
And it keeps getting darker and it keeps getting more sinister, in my humble opinion.
A debate is heating up over whether or not Texas children should be allowed in drag events. It comes after Dallas bar Mr. promoted their Saturday afternoon event as a family-friendly version of their shows and appropriate for kids of all ages. Children were invited to walk down the walkway and dance on stage with performers. The organizers said it was meant to promote inclusion and fun.
This is so crazy. It's hard not to think. I don't know what to think of this. What are we watching?
Yeah, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when drag queen story hours were the things that we were outraged at, because that's so clearly inappropriate. In this case, you've got a neon pink sign as a backdrop declaring it's not going to lick itself as adult drag performers are dancing and lip syncing and even collecting dollar bills from young kids as their parents were sipping on their drinks, having a good time.
A bookstore owner in Port Richey who has hosted drag queen story hours says it's legislating hatred.
Absolutely insane video. Back to you, Tucker.
Yeah, just don't get kids involved, obviously.
That's kind of on the lighter side. On the darker side, this story from North Carolina, where a preschool, James, uses these flashcards, so these things you kind of hold up like this. There we go.
Yep.
And they feature a pregnant man as a way of teaching little children about LGB blah, 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 James.
Well, I mean, if they've got the iPhone, they've already got the pregnant man emoji with that. But yeah, again, this is, you know, the revolution does not sleep, it does not quit, and they will find every single avenue in to undermine anything that smacks of a traditional way of looking at the world.
Culture wars.
Yeah, so pushing this insanity isn't a culture war,
no.
But saying, wait a second, this isn't a good
That's
idea.
That's a culture
That's
war.
A culture war. Yeah. But, you know, this isn't even primary school. So we've seen it in high school. We've seen it in primary school. This is preschool. So these are children being taught colours. So these flashcards were actually used to teach toddlers and very young kids about different colours. And the images they used include a pregnant man. I mean, really, it's you can't laugh at this stuff, because this is it's an agenda, and it's being pursued relentlessly.
It is an agenda, and it keeps getting darker. Now, let's talk quickly about the U.S. Marines' Pride bullets.
No. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, James.
Well, I mean, this is just absolutely amazing to me, because what they've done is they've basically appropriated the Full Metal Jacket recruiting, movie poster from that Kubrick Vietnam War film, anti-war film, to promote the U.S. Marines and Pride Month.
The Washington Post, newspaper of record in the capital city of the land of the free, let's just remember that, has suspended one of its journalists for 1 month without pay just for retweeting a Twitter post which said something to the effect of, all women are bi, you just have to figure out whether it's polar or sexual. That's not funny. That's not funny if anyone was watching. But David Weigel landed in hot water after his colleague drew attention to the fact that he had retweeted this joke from YouTuber Cam Harless. And keep in mind, you can flash your junk on the ABC and nothing happens, but you retweet a YouTuber at the Washington Post and you're gone for a month.
So there you have just a little bit of a slice of life from this week's audio headlines. The darkness that began to settle in 830 days ago has only gotten deeper and darker. It's only gotten worse. It hasn't gotten better. And I'm still waiting for a break in the action. You know, when we first started, Now the End Begins, we would find a story about something happening in Israel or something happening in the Middle East, and everybody would get all excited, and then it would just kind of fade away, or the direction would change, something would happen, and things would just calm down again. And then for a number of weeks or a month or two, it would just be kind of life as normal. And then something would happen and things would get all heated up. And that's kind of how it's gone most of the time that we've had NTEB. The exception are the events that started 830 days ago in America. And not just in America. The lockdown was global. The lockdown was not an American thing. All the nations of Europe locked down. All the nations of Africa locked down. In Asia, they locked down. Australia, New Zealand, Canada. So the lockdowns from 830 days ago, the 15 days to flatten the curve, that was something that Trump said, but that was something that the entire world participated in. And so for the last 830 days, we've been chronicling all these things and bringing you the headlines as they happen. And so far, there hasn't been a break in the action. We went from gain of function COVID-19 to global lockdowns to economies crashing, massive unemployment, COVID deaths, double and triple masking. And then all that went right into Russia invaded Ukraine, and that went right into monkeypox, and here we are, Roe versus Wade. Like I said, there hasn't been a break in the action the entire time. And so this is where we are in the front lines of the end times. These are the things that are happening. So what you need to do this summer, you need to be very situationally aware, because these riots are going to be popping up in cities and towns all across America. If you go to YouTube right now and you click on any one of a half a dozen news channels with a live stream from the courthouse in Washington, D.C., there are thousands of people rioting in the streets right now. And there is going to be more attempts on the lives of the conservative justices. And it's just going to get crazier and crazier. Take a listen to this. Not just women that are getting pregnant. Take a listen.
Not just women that are getting pregnant. Trans men, they have uteruses. I have a trans man child. Out of my 7 kids, half of them are in the rainbow. It's his right to choose. If his dysphoria is so bad that he can't handle a pregnancy, it is not my right or anybody else's right to make that choice for my child.
What about a man with the possibility of getting pregnant? Is that possible now that...
I believe in science, so if that's the route you take and you want to get pregnant, go for it. That is your choice. Emphasis on the choice.
There's kind of this new movement of, like, pregnant people that, you know, people of all genders can carry a child. Do you believe that? Could you speak to that a little bit?
I believe that anyone who could carry a child should have the right to decide when, where, and with whom to have a child.
If you're going to ban abortions, then think about all the hanger abortions, all the unsafe things, all the more deaths and fatalities are going to happen because some f***ing dumbass patriarchy, 9 white men basically, decide that women don't have access to safe health care.
I'm here at this march because I lived before Roe was ruled by the Supreme Court, and I know what it's like to have friends and people that you love and care about face having to do illegal abortions or being forced to bear babies they didn't want to have, and how painful and awful that is.
This is our choice. We have been fighting for this for 50 years. My mother was out here 50 years ago protesting it, and I'm here 50 years later doing the same thing again. It is our choice to do what we do. I have 7 children. Obviously, I know how to make a choice. I don't need a legislator to tell me what choice is right and wrong.
No man, no patriarchy, no government should be involved in our business. That is between you and your doctor. No matter what the decision is, if it was rape, if it was because accident, if it was because whatever the scenario is, and you become pregnant and you don't want to have a child for whatever reason, if you're not financially stable, if you're not ready to, if it was unwanted, you should be able to have that conversation with your doctor and take care of it. Because no government and no man or no woman should have to have the say-so over what you do with your doctor, because abortion is health care. And everyone deserves to have access to safe health care.
So, according to the radical left, abortion is health care. You know what Adolf Hitler was doing when he took children with Down syndrome and mongoloid children and retarded children and children with polio and gypsies and, of course, half of the entire Jewish population worldwide? You know what Adolf Hitler was doing when he took these people and he put them in the gas chambers and the ovens and he lined them up in sides of buildings and shot them 100 at a time and put thousands of bodies in unmarked open graves? You know what Adolf Hitler was doing when he was doing all that in his sick, twisted, demented, demoniac brain? He was making Germany a pure nation. That's what he was doing. That's what he called it. And if you've ever looked at any of the literature from Nazi Germany back in the 1930s and early 1940s, you would see that the Nazis referred to these type of people as subhuman parasites, and that it was the sworn duty of every German to get rid of these people. You see how mentally sick that is? Well, what's different from the clip that I just played for you, calling abortion health care? Do you think the abortion is going to advance the health of the baby that they're aborting? What about that baby's health care? But this is, when you look at the radical left, I mean, these are not simply people with a different take on things. This is not just simply, well, you have your opinion, I have my opinion, you're a conservative and I'm a liberal, so we just agree to disagree. That's not what's happening here. What's happening is that this abortion on demand movement is demonic, and it's the spirit of Antichrist. Why? Because Jesus says in John 8:44, that ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And that's why these people are so... It's not that they're pro-abortion. They're pro-murder is what they are.
Let me ask the abortion advocate, Ms. Arambide, to answer my questions on this subject. Ma'am, you testified that you are, quote, unapologetic in seeking unrestricted abortion access. So I'm wondering, at what point is it not okay to abort a child? What age of gestation?
I trust all people to determine what they can and can't do with their bodies. Full stop.
Okay.
I also believe that human rights, including access to the medical care that they need within their communities, is something that should be afforded everyone.
Great. Okay, so you support late-term abortion?
I support all people and trust
That means late-term abortion. Do you support partial birth abortion? In other words, the child is half-delivered, and then the woman says, my right, I want to take that one out. You support that?
I trust people to make decisions about
Wow.
my body.
Wow. Okay. What about... So abortion should be allowed then, by your definition, for any reason, for any purpose, at any stage, right?
I trust people to make decisions about their body, and then when relevant, I think that they need to consult their medical practitioners.
Okay.
And not
if it is, listen, let me just ask you this question. If it is not lawful and morally acceptable to take the life of a 10-year-old child, I assume you agree with that, right? That would be wrong, correct?
I believe that.
Okay.
That is
and
wrong.
A 2-year-old child, same thing. That would be murder. We would all agree that's wrong. Then what is the principal distinction between the human being that is 2 years old or 9 months old or 1 week old or an hour old than one that is 8 inches further up the birth canal in the utero? What's the difference? Why is it okay in the latter case and not the former cases?
I trust people to determine what to do with their own bodies.
Wow.
Full stop.
Wow. Full stop indeed. And that describes right there exactly what this is about. There's a legal issue here, but underneath that is a moral issue. It's about reality. It's about science, the advancement of medical technology. You're talking about unborn children. And your full stop is that you will support the termination of that child at any time. And that is frightening. And that is why this decision should be turned to the popular will of the people. And hopefully they'll protect the sanctity of every single human life and live up to the standards of our Declaration of Independence. I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Ms. Bass.
So there you have how liberals view abortion. They are completely okay with that baby being aborted on day one or the last day of month number 9 or any time in between. Back in January of 2019, we brought you the article entitled, It's Party Time. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo celebrates as he signs the Reproductive Health Act bill authorizing killing of babies up to the moment of birth. And this is what I wrote in that article. Just one generation ago, the world was horrified when newsreels from the Allied forces liberating Germany shocked the world with raw moving images of Hitler's concentration camps. People watched with jaws scraping the floor as they saw in utter disbelief the mass killing of human beings in gas chambers, ovens, and being shot in large groups. Contrast that with yesterday, as New York Governor Andrew Cuomo celebrated the legal mass killings of babies up to the moment of birth by lighting up the New York City skyline with the color pink. Let the irony of choosing the color pink, the color that represents a newborn baby girl, sink in for a moment. We live in a wicked age that is so ripe for judgment from God that I honestly cannot find the right words to express it. In 2019, we kill babies as a form of birth control. It's somehow called a right, and it is demanded and celebrated by the very ones who should be protecting them, their mothers. Somewhere deep in the burning fires of hell, I wrote, Adolf Hitler is smiling as his evil work continues on. Now, here's a fun fact for you, and this is something that a whole lot of liberals don't like to talk about. And one of the things that liberals don't like to talk about with abortion is the number one target of abortion. Who do you think the number one target of abortion is? Well, it's black babies. Black babies are aborted 3-1 over any other type of baby. And they have estimated in the 50 years of Roe versus Wade, between 15 and 20 million black people who would, most of them would still be alive, part of society, holding jobs, paying taxes, joining the military, becoming doctors and lawyers and all sorts of other things that help society. Planned Parenthood got rid of 15 to 20 million black babies. And black babies are aborted 3-1 over brown babies, over Asian babies, over white babies. Now, if you want to talk about a conspiracy theory, that's a really, really, really good conspiracy theory to talk about. Why are black babies killed 3-1? And before you answer that question, why is it that the Democratic Party, which has been the party of black people since the days of Lyndon Baines Johnson in his Great Society program, how is it even possible that the party of black people, the Democrats, is the exact same party that pushes day and night relentlessly to abort black babies? Why doesn't anybody stop to think about that? And yet, amazingly, that subject never comes up. Now, here's another fun fact. When you begin to investigate the history of Planned Parenthood, it was originally called something called the Negro Project. Now, why would it be called the Negro Project? Because when Planned Parenthood was first created, it was created with the idea of primarily getting rid of black babies. And that's why, before it was called Planned Parenthood, before Bill Gates Sr. took it over, Margaret Sanger, who is the woman who founded Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, who is the woman that created the Negro Project, said this in 1926. Margaret Sanger said, and I quote, "I accepted an invitation to talk to the women's branch of the Ku Klux Klan. I saw through the door dim figures parading with banners and illuminated crosses. I was escorted to the platform, was introduced, and began to speak. In the end, through simple illustrations, I believed I had accomplished my purpose." And then she ends with saying, "A dozen invitations to speak to similar groups, groups that were in line with the KKK, were given to her. Margaret Sanger wrote a book in 1920 called Women and the New Race. And Margaret Sanger said this, "By all means, there should be no children when either mother or father suffers from diseases like tuberculosis, gonorrhea, syphilis, cancer, epilepsy, insanity, drunkenness," that's how she got pregnant in the first place, "and mental disorders. In the case of the mother, heart disease, kidney trouble, and pelvic deformities are also a serious bar to childbearing. No more children should be born when the parents, though healthy themselves, find that their children are physically or mentally defective." Now, do you know who else said that? Adolf Hitler said that. The whole point behind the concentration camps was to get rid of the defective people. And 12 million people died in Adolf Hitler's concentration camps. Margaret Sanger started the Negro Project. The Negro Project became Planned Parenthood. That is where, now, if you know any Democrats, and I honestly don't, but if you know any Democrats who support abortion, who support Planned Parenthood, why don't you go to nowtheendbegins.com, type in the words Negro Project, grab the article, and send this article to some liberal friends of yours. In 1939, Margaret Sanger wrote a letter to Dr. Clarence Gamble. And this is what Margaret Sanger said on December 10th of 1939. "It seems to me from my experience that while the colored Negroes have great respect for white doctors, they can get closer to their own members and more or less lay their cards on the table, which means their ignorance, superstitions, and doubts. We should hire 3 or 4 colored ministers, preferably with social services background and with engaging personalities." Now, why would Margaret Sanger write this letter to Dr. Clarence Gamble on December 10th of 1939? And why would she say that we should hire 3 or 4 black ministers, pastors, who have engaging personalities with social service backgrounds? Why would she do that? Because she said, "We don't want the word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population." And the minister, the local pastor, is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members. This is what Margaret Sanger wrote in a letter on December 10th of 1939. It was a, now you talk about your conspiracy theory. This was an organized effort to deceive black people into having abortions for the sole purpose of lowering the black population. And Margaret Sanger, it was such an evil woman that she came up with the idea of using pastors from the church to go door to door in poor black neighborhoods to convince them to have abortions. And if anybody started getting wise, that they could be reassured by their pastor, by their church minister, they could be reassured that there was no evil intent here. We're just trying to give you health care. We're just trying to give you reproductive rights. What is that? That is the work of Satan. What is legalized abortion? It is the work of the devil. And the people that are now preparing to riot in the streets, and they're going to be bringing you their Knights of Rage, these people are ministers of Satan, is what they are. And if that offends you, that's too bad, because that's the truth. That's the truth. Well, there you have it. This is maybe the biggest news story that we're going to see all month long. This is a really, really big story, and it's going to have far-reaching and dramatic implications. And of course, we'll be right here on the front lines of the end times to bring you all the updates and the nonsense and the craziness as things continue. Palmetto State guy says, please pray for my mother, Eunice. She's still trying to recover from a stroke. Please keep Palmetto State guy's mother, Eunice, in your prayers, please. Also, we were able to ship out 26,050 King James Bibles from January to June. We are 250% past where we were last year. If this continues, we are easily going to hit 50,000 King James Bibles and New Testaments handed out for free in just 2022 alone. But we can't do it by ourselves. We need you. We need you to pray for this program, and we need you to donate to this program. I just got a notification just the other day. The price of paper is getting ready to skyrocket. And we are going to try to keep our prices at the bookstore as low as we possibly can. But the price of paper in July and going forward is getting ready to dramatically increase. And all of our suppliers have told us this, including the printing company. So if the Lord lays on your heart to donate to our free gospel, our free Bible and gospel track program, please donate, and please be as generous as you possibly can. It is getting very expensive to do this, and I don't want to stop this program. I very, very much want to see us reach our 50,000 Bible goal, and we can do it if we all band together. And if you pray for this program, if you donate to this ministry, Lord willing, we will hit that goal. So please donate, and please be generous if the Lord lays that on your heart. And with that, we've come to the end of another NTEB Prophecy News podcast. Thank you so much for being part of the NTEB global family of Bible believers across America and around the world. Have a great weekend, everybody, and Lord willing, we'll see you back here for Sunday service, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a great weekend.
Hear our cry, Lord, we pray. Our faces down, our hands are raised. You called us out, we turned away. We've turned away. With shipwrecked faith, the idols rise. We do what is right, and our own.
Reaching out, reaching out, reaching out. The need.